information to help you run your business better and improve your marketing campaigns. My name is Hank Hoffmeyer, and thank you for joining me on Hank's Marketing and Business Tips. Welcome to episode 289 of the HMBT podcast. Today, I'm joined by Scott Cox with STX Consulting. We're going to talk about how do you live and thrive in today's economic climate, because he's got some great ideas on being productive and helping people just be more successful. Scott is a business coach and consultant. He has proven expertise in marketing, sales, and remote working. He's a big believer of building systems and processes for being efficient and productive so you can get free, get your time back, and do more of the things you love. Now, if you're listening to this episode and you have listened to the previous episode, you'll notice there's a reoccurring theme. And yes, I could have waited to bring Scott on, but I think it's always good to talk about, especially in this economical climate and this this really difficult time of people trying to find jobs or trying to keep their job or maybe keep their business afloat, because I don't think I know any business owner or any company that hasn't laid someone off in the last year. Scott, welcome to the show. Let's just really dive in and talk to people about the realities of just right now, 2024. Let me start off by asking you, Scott, what do you think 2024 has in store for people that either own a business or work in a job? I'll just leave it open. It's like just so open, that question.
Yeah. Wow. That's a very big question. I am not a fortune teller, so I'll just put that out there. So don't hold me to this. I have also been living in Southeast Asia for the past couple of years, so I'm a little bit disassociated with what's going on in the West. But in general, business is business, economies are economies, right? So, you know, look, I think the way the world is going, you know, I've been saying this for probably, you know, honestly, a couple of years. I think that small business, there's such a big gap that's being exaggerated between large corporations and small businesses. I think that small businesses have the opportunity, and there's going to be more opportunity with technology like AI. And, you know, like one of my strategies, paying those with remote workers to increase productivity while keeping your costs lower. But being able to be more of these solo, or what I call like micro businesses, where maybe you have like an entrepreneur, solopreneur, or maybe you have a solopreneur who has a support team of 2, 3, 4, 5 remote workers, you know, that's helping support the functions of the business. So that solopreneur can, you know, essentially be, you know, the bricklayer per se. So, you know, there's this old analogy that I would talk to about with, you know, a lot of my business associates throughout the years, where especially with small business owners, which was my niche and is my niche, is that it's very difficult for small business owners to scale typically, because they start out being bricklayers, right? So they are really good at laying bricks. And this is obviously figurative, right? But what happens is they get so good at laying bricks, they start getting busier and busier and busier, and they get more demand. They start to hire people and wanting to, you know, now we need trucks and we need this and we need that. We need an office. And along the way, they have to transition into being a business owner, which is a very difficult transition when you are a bricklayer and you love laying bricks. It doesn't, you know, that's not a negative thing that you're a bricklayer. You're just really good at that. You're a tradesman, right? And so I think in this digital age and the way the world is going, small business owners, I mean, we're more connected than ever. We have more opportunity to get exposure and reach than ever. There's more opportunity than ever for you to have a small business that works for you instead of you working for your small business. You know, I've worked with a lot of clients over the years, and, you know, one example that always comes to my mind is, you know, lawn care or landscaping businesses. You know, those owners work for their businesses. There's no days off. They, you know, always have issues with hiring, you know, quality employees. There's always something going on with machinery. Like, it's just a business that you work for. And, you know, if you go back and look 30, 40, 50 years ago, when a lot of those businesses were, you know, established, that's kind of what the opportunity was, right? Mm-hmm. But now with technology, the internet, and social media platforms, and I mean, even just being able to buy a phone that you use practically as a phone, but can also use as a 4K camera to record content. I mean, this is the opportunity, right? So this is, I think, going forward, whether you're a small business owner, making space to tap into your creativity, no matter what that is. We're all creative to some extent. Some of us are, you know, we like to, you know, like to draw and paint pictures, but some of us like to put puzzles together. Whatever your creative, you know, touch is, tap into that and utilize that to grow your business. And if you're an employee, it's the same thing, but in a more practical sense, it's skill sets. You need to be developing skill sets, and you need to be developing a unique thinking, capability. So whether you're in marketing, whether you're in sales, whether you're in admin or whatever it is, right? You need to bring a unique perspective to your position, to your job, that other potential candidates aren't going to bring. Thinking right. Outside the box is going to really separate you and give you a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, Seth Godin talks about that as being the linchpin, right? Somebody that can't be replaced, and maybe somebody that can endure layoffs, et cetera. And, you know, I'm lucky to have been through a lot of rounds of layoffs, and I feel horrible for people that have lost their jobs and people that I've worked with. And then for the landscaping example you gave, been there, done that. I've done that when I was in high school, out of high school, and I owned a landscaping business. I used to operate that on the weekends so that my wife can be a stay-home mom and homeschool our children. And that was an experience because, you know, I had the knowledge and I had some equipment. So I just quickly started the business up. And at some point I needed to do some work during the week because I started getting more than I can handle. I had to hire somebody, trust them. And, you know, what's that rule? If somebody can do something 80% as good as you, that's good enough. Right. That worked out for a while. I sold the business a few years ago just because I started traveling more for work and speaking more at conferences, which is great. And there used to be a saying, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life, or start a business doing something you love. And I had a conversation with my wife because she loves gardening. And she wants to find ways to make some extra money. And I thought of maybe starting a YouTube channel because there's a lot of gardeners that are making a lot of money on YouTube. But she said, if I take what I love and I start creating it as work, I might not like it as much anymore. I'm thinking maybe that is true. Don't take something you love, and don't take this as advice from me, but I want to get your opinion on this because I think if you take something you really love and then all of a sudden you put pressures on that and challenges to make money, I think you're going to start despising that and not wanting to do that. So maybe take something you're good at and you know can be successful, hone those skills. This way you're not as vested in it so much because, like you said, if you're laying bricks, it's hard for you to go into the office and start saying, well, how many bricks do I need to buy for this new person laying bricks? Oh, now I'm doing something I don't really like. I really liked laying the bricks, but it's hard to scale if you have that mentality. What do you think about that phrase, you know, doing what you love and you're not really working much? Or you're working, but you're just so happy because you're doing what you love, but then you turn it into something toxic, maybe.
Yeah, I think work is work.
True. I think there's our show title.
Yeah, work is work. I think you can have a passion for what you do. But I think a lot of times we tend to get confused what we actually receive as value and the thing that we love versus the actual activity that we're doing. So, you know, for example, I don't think that your wife probably loves digging in the dirt. Now, maybe she does. Maybe she's one of those women, but maybe she doesn't necessarily love digging in the dirt, having to scrape the dirt out from underneath her fingernails afterwards, right? Like, I don't think she loves those things, but what she probably loves is the process of being able to be part of creating something and bringing something to life. And not only bringing something to life, but something that is going to help nourish her family, the ones that she loves, you know, and herself. That's probably what she loves about it. And so I think a lot of times that saying can be misconstrued. Oh, just do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Well, I love helping people, right? But I could try to help people in a way that I just absolutely hate, right? But I might still love the end process, right? Or I could find something, like you said, that I'm good at, that people are willing to pay me for, and gives me the end result that I'm passionate about, which is helping people, making an impact. And probably doesn't really matter if I like it or hate it. I'm going to stick with it because I'm more focused on the impact that I'm having and the value that business is giving to me and to the people I'm serving, versus just the actual act of, hey, let me dig a hole and put some seeds in, right?
Right. So maybe it's taking something that you're passionate about, seeing if you can monetize it and doing that, rather than don't take a hobby that you love and turn it into right. a business.
Yeah, I would say do something to like zen out. You probably don't need to try and turn that into a business, you know, like if that's your wife's, you know, piecing quite like she goes out there, if she's stressed and she digs some holes and she punches some seeds in the ground and then she comes back in an hour later and she's feeling like, you know, the world is bliss again. She probably doesn't need to turn that into a business, you know, like the people that probably started these, you know, what are these rooms where you go in and you break things?
Oh yeah. Rage rooms or whatever they call them.
Yeah. Rage rooms. You know, it probably wasn't some person who like was literally going around breaking things that was angry. It's probably a guy or a girl that had that happen to them. Right. Like they had a partner that went crazy or something and broke all their stuff. I'm like, huh, you know, that actually be a good idea. I don't know, man. I'm just talking now. But yeah, I think we got to focus on what it is that we actually love about the things that we do and not just what we're doing. Yeah, both are important, but yeah, obviously the outcomes are usually what's more important.
All right, let's hit the fast forward button a little bit. Now we found what we love and what we're doing, and we found something that can make some money, and we're starting to do the work, but we're overwhelmed, working a lot of hours. You know, when I brought you on and introduced you, we talked about terms, systems and processes. I want to hear what your systems and your processes are, because they're going to be other people. I have different ideas of what those are. What are some of the items that you would say are important for anyone, new business owners or people that are currently working and leadership level folks? What systems and processes do they need to use?
Well, again, that's kind of another big wide open question, right? So, yeah. Because it can apply to everyone and what they're doing. Some general things that, or not really general, but some specific things that really I abide by for in my life. I have a couple. One is managing my time. And I don't look at it as finding time for things. I look at it as I manage my calendar, my schedule. So my team and everyone knows that I live by my calendar. If you want to, heck, even if my mom wants to call me, you know, she knows she's got to get on my calendar, because it's just, I live by that. And so what that does is it frees me up to move things in and out of my calendar, out of my time that I want to try and maybe do. So one of the things I'm going to do, I'm in Thailand. I'm going to start doing Muay Thai classes a few times a week. And so cool. It's taken me, yeah, it's going to be awesome. But it's taken me a few weeks to kind of get my routines down here in a new country, because I just moved here in January. It's taken me a few weeks to get my routines down and everything and really get my calendar honed in, so I can go, okay, I want to do this thing, or at least try it out and see how, not only do I like it, but how does it fit within my schedule? And then something that's so physical, for example, you know, am I going to do that early in the morning? Am I going to do it late at night? When does it make sense? So figuring all that out, having a structured calendar with everything on there already that I need to do, gives me the freedom to move things in and out that I want. So not just creating time or, managing the things in your life, but managing your time and, really controlling what takes your time. The second thing anybody has to have is a support system. So, you have to have a partner, a friend, a brother, a sister, a mom, a remote worker. You have to generally, if you're someone who's high performing, trying to do anything, you have to have some kind of support system, because we are all human. We're all fallible, right? And right, that's the right way to use that. And we're going to miss things, right? Especially, like I said, if you're high performing or you're trying to do a lot, which most people are, by the time you start including a business, a job, a family, activities, some kind of not like a personal life outside of your spouse, and then you have your personal life with your spouse, like you have so many things you have to do. You need some kind of help to stay organized, to stay on track, and to make sure you're not dropping things. So I would say probably two of my biggest themes in life, processes, systems that I'm always implementing no matter what I do, where I go, even if I'm, so one of my things is last year I started a business in the UAE, which was a whole big 6-month ordeal of me trying to find the right country that I wanted to establish a new business in. And I had one of my remote workers literally doing hours of research for me on different countries, different bank accounts, different things like that. I just needed the help. It was hours and hours of time. I didn't have necessarily a lot of that time to spend. And this is someone who'd done data collection and stuff like that for me before. So I said, hey, you know, this is kind of similar, do this. They were happy to do it. And, you know, but even in that small instance, when in something for my, I guess that's business kind of personal, but, you know, you got to have a support system. So manage your time, have a support system. If you can have those two things like tight, you'll get a lot done very quickly.
Yeah, I can probably manage my calendar a little bit better, but I do block time off for like project work, stuff like that. But I really need to probably structure my day a little bit better because I do leave it wide open sometimes for other people to book calls with me, which probably is not a good thing. And I do have what I call accountability partners. Then I have one person who I actually call her a business buddy. And, you know, we both help each other, hold each other accountable and ask the hard questions. And we have those difficult business conversations together when we need to. And that's a different type of person than just a general accountability partner. It's like you said, having that support system, having somebody that can like audit you and ask those hard questions, because you're not going to do it for yourself. You are always going to think you're doing the right thing, or you're failing really bad, and there's never anything in the middle. So you need to really say, have somebody look at your day, look at what you're doing and hear about what's going on. And then they say, well, why did you do that? Why was that important? Or why didn't you block that time off? I think it's good for humans to know that we're not perfect and we're not complete utter failures. There's could be that middle ground, and hopefully build systems and habits, right? Because I think calendar or scheduling is habitual, and you need to stay in it. It's like working out. You miss a few days, you're going to start falling off and not doing it as well, and that's important.
Well, that's kind of the thing, right? Is you're building habits. But most of us suck at building habits, or we're good at creating habits, but we suck at sticking to them. And so, you know, systems are just the tools by which you do whatever it is that you're trying to do. And the process is, you know, that's how you do it. And so if you combine those two things, you know, now you have, and it's something that's repeatable, now you have a habit. So exactly. You're building good habits by implementing actual structures to make sure that you are consistent with those habits. If you don't give yourself leeway in that, then look, you've got a habit.
You don't. So let me ask, what was your reasoning for moving to Indonesia?
So, well, I moved to Philippines. Well, actually I was in South America, and then I moved to Philippines, lived there for 6 months. Then I moved to Indonesia for 10 months, and now I'm in Thailand. Okay. Indonesia, I had always wanted to travel my whole life. And I did travel when I was younger. And then I had like life get in the way. And so there's about a decade where I didn't travel internationally. And so I had a wake up call one day, said, I want to change my life up, changed a whole bunch of things, left the US. For the Philippines. And the reason I went to Indonesia was because I 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was, I remember seeing a CNBC or CBS or whatever commercial or news, not a commercial, but a news cast that was talking about how these people that were working online were going to Bali and they were living in, three bedroom, houses, like suites on the beach, and they were getting coconuts for $1, a day, and massages and butlers and all. And I was just like, wow, that is amazing. I could literally go disappear on an island somewhere. So Bali is not like that now. You can definitely pay for that experience, but it's definitely much different. But yeah, it was just literally always I don't want to say dream, but kind of like something I wanted to do on my bucket list to go to Bali, and I was in the Philippines. I was ready to leave. It was my birthday, and I was like, I had nowhere specific I wanted to go. I was like, let's go to Bali. And you know, as cliche as I hate to say it is, it was actually probably one of the most peaceful and restorative 10 months of my life. I don't know what, like, I wasn't doing any, you know, like severe meditation. I wasn't doing any crazy yoga. Like, that's not my thing. I'm a heavy weightlifting guy. I don't do yoga at all. So like, I wasn't doing any of that kind of stuff that most people associate with, like, you know, digital nomads in Bali. But, you know, I lived in the middle of rice fields, had mountain views, was, you know, an hour drive from the mountain, an hour drive from beautiful, you know, snorkeling areas. It was just, you know, the Balinese are amazing people. It was just an amazing time in my life. I actually have left there now. Like I said, I'm in Thailand because I'm pursuing some other goals. But when I'm done pursuing these current goals, I definitely, my focus is to get back to Indonesia, and I won't live in Bali, but there's some other places I'll live. So
I went down a whole rabbit hole. I was watching some videos of someone interviewing people in like Indonesia about, oh, you're a digital nomad. What do you do? And how much do you make? And it was like such a variety of different incomes and different types of work. And it's interesting. And you know, maybe not everyone listening to this is going to say that, you know, they want to or can and just get up and move to a different country. But you did something amazing, right? You took a risk. You did something scary. You set a goal and you did it. And that takes, you know, systems and processes just to do that. And I guess maybe our message to people should be to do something that scares you. And I know some people, this is probably going to be the 800th time they heard this, but growing up in New Jersey, my family didn't have a lot of money, and extended my travel until I met my wife when I was in my 20s I went to three states, and it was New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Now, since I met her, and I don't know the exact numbers right now, but I think I've been to 31 countries and 28 states now. So it's great. And I think international travel is great. I need to get into Indonesia because I've only stepped foot there on the Asian side of Turkey, but that doesn't really give you that experience. But other than that, I haven't been to anywhere in Asia, and I want to. Maybe it's Japan, maybe it's China, I don't know, but I need to get there and do something that scares me. Even Egypt, right? Because that's kind of scary to go there too, but do things that scare you, whether it's personal or professional, because you don't live life unless you do something that gets that adrenaline pumping, or, you know, creates that risk. What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to lose everything, and you're going to have to start over. Right. And I think that you can start over. Even if you fail at something, there's always some kind of, like you said, if you have a support system, you know, if you sell everything and move to Indonesia and it doesn't work out, and you can't even sell coconuts on the street, you can move back home and stay with friends and family or something, right? Just take that risk.
Yeah, I mean, two things there. 99% of what we worry about never happens, right? So yeah, the worst thing is you could just lose everything, start over. But most anybody who's tried to do anything in life has lost everything at least once, if not multiple times, and had to start over. You never actually start over with nothing. You still have your experiences and your growth, your learning. So usually this is why business owners reach more success every time they do have to start over, much more quicker. But the other thing is too, is yeah, you know, and that's the whole point of systems and processes. You know, I am definitely a big picture kind of guy. I'm not a, you know, when it comes to like data and things, you know, and a lot of what I do involves data in marketing and sales. But I have to have support people around me to help me compile, organize that data. And then I'm able to translate that into a big picture. And that's what kind of makes me valuable in the role that I'm in. But, you know, having the systems and processes is what allows you to take the risk, is what allows you to have the freedom to try new things. You know, it's like I said, with my calendar, it's like I am free to move things in and out of time slots in my calendar because I have the basic structure there. If I didn't have that basic structure, I'm like, oh, I want to go do this. I might be trying it at random times. I might be trying, it might be conflicting with other things. And then I could just be, oh, well, it's not going to work, right? When really, if I was structured, I'd know exactly where to put it. And so, You know, that's really the key when we talk about building freedom from your business. When I talk about building freedom from your business, is you can, it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And most people, unfortunately, just don't know how to do it. And I've only figured out how to do it, thankfully, through business mentors and then my own experiences. You know, and everyone's probably heard systems and processes so many times over the past few years, right? Like, it's in remote workers, like it's the top three small business, you know, hot topics, but right, that's what it is. I mean, in this scope of building freedom and getting free from your business, it's the more systems, the more processes and people you can implement, the less you have to do. And yeah, maybe you're the face of your business, you're the creative engine or something like that, but you can dedicate a certain amount of time to that and then have the rest of your time to yourself, to your family, to your goals, to your passions. If you have people, systems, and processes in place to take care of everything else, the implementation or the distribution, you know, side of things. So
I've had episodes years ago talking about the importance of working with coaches and consultants and, you know, the benefits and the challenges of doing that. Here's probably the hardest question of this episode. With today's economy, with companies scaling back and laying off and cutting budgets, why is it still important to say work with STX Consulting if I wanted to grow a business? Why would I want to or have to invest money to work with you?
Well, you have to invest money for your business to grow. And the biggest, and if you want to grow as an employee, let's say, you have to invest money into personal growth, your personal development. We just said one of the best ways as an employee that you can stand out is to think differently, right? Well, you're not going to just wake up one day and think differently. You have to learn. You have to have new experiences. You have to have new insights. It's the same thing with business. The way you grow your business is you get out of your own way. You get new experiences. You get new insights. You get new lessons, right? And we only learn those things. We only get those things either by one, going through those experiences ourselves, or having someone who's been where we want to be and giving us this, hey, this is where this is probably going to go, not where it's sounding like you want to go. This is maybe a better direction, so take these actions instead. And, you know, for me specifically, and what I'm all about is not just necessarily growing a business. I help business owners grow their business, but there's, I can't tell you how many times I've seen a business where they're like, yeah, we're doing, you know, $1.2 million a year. And I'm like, great, what's your profit? And they're like, 30,000. And I'm like, oh, that's scary, right? They're negative, right? And so it's like, you know, I think there was such a fad, you know, when social media came around of being a business owner. And even now, the digital nomad thing is so kind of trendy, right? Which I think that's losing a bit of steam. Again, I'm not totally plugged into the media in the West, so, you know, I don't 100% know, but I think that's losing its steam a little bit as far as being a popular trend. But I think there's a huge opportunity, like I said, for small business owners to leverage remote workers and leverage tools like AI and have these businesses where, hey, maybe you're happy making $60,000 to $100,000 a year that covers, and then you have, you're only working 5 to 10 hours a week. Maybe you want to make $500,000 a year and you're going to work 20 hours a week. Like, what the reality is that in this day and age, using people and technology, you can create the business that you want, so it serves your life. You know, for me, one of the many reasons I live where I live in Southeast Asia and in other, you know, developing countries, it's because the cost of living is lower. I don't have to work as hard to live as good of a quality of life. And that is an amazing, honestly, trade-off. I don't sacrifice anything. I have everything I want here that I would have in a Western country. But and more, I get adventure, I get new culture, I get all these things. You know, I've started eating spicy food. Coming from the States, I never ate spicy food. I can't eat food if it's not spicy now. And Thai spice is different. And just spicy food. Thai spicy is a lot spicier. But you know, it's those cool things in life that you get, you know, by implementing these things and creating a business that serves you. And so that's why people should work with me. If you're been stuck in your business in the same spot for a few years or a year, or 6 months, whatever it is, and you're wanting to get to that next step, you know, odds are that, you know, I can take a look at your business, not wave a magic wand and help you grow, but I can help you look at your business, find missed opportunities and gaps, help you put a plan in place to fill those missed opportunities and gaps, give you your time back, and, you know, help you start to move the business in the right direction to growth.
And to add to that, I think working with you or someone, you know, a coach or a consultant, is you're going to get someone there faster and you're going to lower risk. If it's worth investing in that, then you can see the possible benefit. Unless you just want to struggle and just be so stressed out by trying to do all of it yourself, then do it that way if you want to. But you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be healthy. And you may end up failing in the long run. It's always good to invest in resources, even in a down economy, because then you can outpace your competitors, hopefully. Really quick, I want to mention, you know, I work for Kickbox. A lot of people know that and they're supporters of the show. I was able to get a coupon code. Use the code HMBT to get 500 free credits if you need to validate email addresses for your email marketing needs. Or if you're a larger company and you want to use our API to check emails in real time, you can do that as well. But you're going to get 500 free credits whether you buy some or not. Take advantage of that. And Scott, with that, how can people connect with you, learn more about you, and maybe find out what your favorite spicy recipes are?
Ooh, you can check out my website at stxconsulting.co, as well as you can find me on most social platforms, specifically Facebook and Instagram is where I am at Nomad Talk is my handle, but that's N with a zero, okay. Nomad Talk. And that's it. That's how you can find me. Reach out to me, send me a message. Don't just send me a friend request because I get a million of those. Send me a message. Let me know that you heard about me here, and we can chat, connect, talk about spicy food, talk about Thailand, or talk about business and getting free.
All right. With that, folks, work is work, and it doesn't get done unless you do it. Have a great day, everyone.